Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have reports and tips from Jarrett McCarthy down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And then again, we have John Detloff on here talking about 100-year celebration of the Chippewa flowage. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
The Hayward area is a true snowmobile mecca with over 600 miles of groomed trails. In the middle of it all, you'll find us at Hayward Power Sports. We're open from 9 until 5:30, Monday through Saturday, with sales, service, parts, and rentals. Plus on Sundays, we're open for rental pickup and drop-off only from 9 to noon. Hayward Power Sports has 14 people staffing our parts and service departments Monday through Saturday. With state-of-the-art computer diagnostics and the most highly trained techs, nobody can get you back on the trail faster. Plus, with over $1 million parts inventory, we're likely to have your parts in stock. Hayward Power Sports is your Polaris and Ski-Doo dealer with the region's best selection of new and used sleds. Plus, our showroom is packed full of garments and accessories. Check out Polaris, Ski-Doo, Castle, 509, and Climb. Find Polaris, Ski-Doo, and Castle helmets and necessities like wear rods, belts, Hyphax, and oil. Want to get back on the trail fast? Come see Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77 or online at haywardpowersports.com.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu. And while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward. We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. I got Jarrett McCarthy in here. And Jarrett, finally we get some cold weather.
Yeah, about time. A little bit too late on the cold weather with all that snow out there. But yeah, we've got it.
Yeah, it's debatable. I think it's going to freeze up some stuff, but it's got to get through an awful lot of snow to get to the ice, and that temperature underneath there snow is warmer than on top.
Well, the negative temps will certainly help that, if anything.
As far as the ice fishing out there, I know the ice conditions haven't been the greatest this year. I've got plenty of ice for walking out there and for snowmobiling. A lot of slush, what we're seeing, but nobody driving out there yet with vehicles. As far as the ice fishing, what are you hearing around here as far as like panfish?
You know, as far as panfish goes, it sounds like there are quite a few guys out there having success. Been fairly easy to get on top of this here because it seems like more fish have stayed related to that shallower structure, those, you know, those weed lines and those shallower deals where you can get to a little bit easier from shoreline, especially with this bad ice. But it sounds like guys are having some luck out there.
You know, and that's the game plan. We've talked about this many times on the show here, is that, you know, there's still plenty of places that you can get out without having to fight a lot of slush and deep snow. I mean, you can get to places where it's deeper off the shoreline, easy access out, smaller lakes, off at snowmobile trails, walk out on snowmobile trails and you can get off the side of them. Just don't drill holes in the trail.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of your biggest tools that you can have this time of the year is a good map. Take that map and you lay it out in front of you. Look and see where the snowmobile trails are. See where all your lake access points are so you can just, you know, kind of get a game plan for, all right, I need to be fishing X amount of water, you know, X deep of water, so I'm going to access it from here, take the snowmobile trail out. You know, right now, especially in the cold weather that we've got, you know, the less work that you can put in to get to the spot, the better. You know, and that goes for, you know, any kind of fishing or what have you, but if you do your homework, you're going to catch a lot more fish and save a lot more time.
Yeah, you know, you made a good point. Get a snowmobile trail map and then get a fishing map or on like a Hummingbird Helix map and compare where the deep holes and the deeper basins are compared to what those trails run. And now you're going to find that you got several places. I can think of like one little lake I know of. I can go out that, walk out that trail or snowmobile out that trail, and I can walk 50 yards off one side of the trail and I hit the main basin for that side, go up the trail another couple, 200, 300, 400 yards, and off the left side I got another one, go up the trail a little farther and I got another deep hole. But you can correlate them and actually get access just walking out or snowmobiling out on the trail. and without having to get out there in a bunch of slush and worry about getting stuck.
Absolutely. You know, the 10-15 minutes it's going to take you to sit down and look at a map and get something planned out, you know, you're saving yourself, you know, hours of potential, you know, walking or getting stuck or something happening out on the ice, you know. So, you know, it pays to put in your time. It'll be worth it.
Actually, for open water, too. I mean, open water, take time to look at the map, and you can kind of figure out where these fish are going to be.
Absolutely, you know, and if you're like me and you're getting antsy for spring or whatever, you're already on top of that.
You heard anything on walleyes at all out there?
Walleyes, not so much. We're seeing a couple walleyes that are getting caught here and there, but fishing's really slowed up. Guys are getting them. It seems like it's just a handful every night on, you know, decent spots out there, high concentration spots, and, you know, but nothing earth-shattering.
How about pike?
Pike have been good all winter, and I don't see any reason for them to slow down. Pike are like the panfish of game fish. You know, you're always going to find pike no matter where you go. They're a great eating fish, and, you know, we've seen quite a few 40s being pulled out this year, you know, more than I've seen in years past. Seeing some other mid-30-inch pike or what have you coming out of area lakes, but it sounds like pike fishing's been pretty good.
Yeah, it won't be long now, I suppose. We'll have some guys heading out for stream fishing on trout.
Yep, absolutely.
How about, you know, as far as gearing up for the summertime. You guys are starting to get into that right now. Won't be long here. You're starting to get stuff in. You've been getting stuff in all along. A whole lot of new stuff out there this year. There always is, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're still set up for winter down here at the shop, but, you know, we're always thinking of spring and the next season ahead. So we're starting to get ready. We're starting to get a lot of our merchandise in, getting it out. A lot of new stuff that we're going to have coming in this year. We talked about Z-Man last week. One of the newer brands that we're going to bring into the shop is going to be Reef Runner for all those guys that are just starting to get into trolling for walleye. It's going to have a really nice color selection for those guys that are getting out on round and cootery and everything else like that, you know, out there trolling for walleyes. But we're doing our due diligence and making sure that we've got everything for every type of angler in here this summer.
I know there'll be guys planning to do some road trips too. We get towards spring, we're going to get into March here, get past February, and I think toward the end of February, March, let's hope we start getting some warmer weather. But there will be guys that plan to do some road trips farther south, Fox River, Mississippi River. I know I am.
Yep, those early season walleye trips, people going down to the Fox, people going down to Green Bay to fish Oconto right there. You know, a lot of opportunities that we've got ahead of us, even when there's still snow out there. So, yeah, we're looking forward to it.
You bet. Well, Jared, I want to thank you for taking the time with our listeners here.
And thanks for having me, John.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that bring the show to you every week. When we come back, we'll be talking fishing and history on the Chippewa Flowage. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hunters and Anglers, Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in Hayward. They have a huge selection of ice fishing gear, including portable shelters, power augers, electronics, beaver dam tip-ups, ice rods, and just about anything you'll need for ice fishing. They also have archery supplies, bows, crossbows, muzzle loaders, ammo, and much more to help you enjoy the outdoors. While you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin, welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Rent some winter fun from Hayward Power Sports. We're Wisconsin's largest and most complete snowmobile rental service, offering a wide range of late model sleds from Polaris and Skidoo. All of our machines are frequently serviced by our certified technicians, and your rental includes a helmet. Plus, you'll be able to ride out the gate with access to 600 miles of groomed trails. To rent your winter fun, go to haywardpowersports.com, give us a call, or visit Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
At Hayward Power Sports, let's have some fun!
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, and this part of the show is brought to you by the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau. For more information on lodging and vacationing here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out their website at haywardlakes.com. Well, folks, you know, last week we had fishing guide and historian and resort owner John Detloff on talking about the history of the Chippewa Flowage and some fishing with that 100-year celebration going on for this year. Well, you know, we got him back on again this week for the second part of that talk we had. with even more history and more fishing stuff.
You know, talking about the history of flowage, a lot has changed, though, on that lake. Even in the time I've been here, 40 years, and imagine it went from, you know, a darker body of water with more tannins in it throughout the whole system, actually, even the west side to some degree, with a lot more wood, to where the water's cleared up quite a bit, and you've got less of that wood and more weeds.
That's true. You know, the clarity of the water, that does vary. I remember we had a major drought in late 87, 88, and early 89. That was a severe drought. Yep. And the water cleared up tremendously. It was unbelievable where you can just pull up to a spot and see right through the water and visibly see the sandbars under the surface. And I thought, oh boy, you know, there goes our camouflage, so to speak. There goes our color, our tannin. And we were fishing deeper at that time, and we were successful catching fish, mostly fishing 10 to 12, 15 feet of water for muskies, which in the flowage is deeper than we usually fish. But it did darken up, which I was happy to see. Once we got into some wetter periods after the late 80s and 90s, the flowage did rebound and stain back up, so it's kind of a cyclical thing.
I can remember those years, too, because the thing that sticks out on me is that even Moose Lake cleared up a lot. The water did, the tannins. And the interesting thing was, I can remember back when Leon Pastica used to have the bait shop, he printed a little yellow piece of paper with the Solander Times on it, and it was absolutely insane that one summer, I believe 88, if it said you were going to have a peak at 10:30, you better be on a good spot, because that may be the only muskie you would see or catch all day long. It's crazy.
That's amazing how those tables would work.
Yeah, you gotta have stable weather, though.
Yeah, weather overrides everything else, obviously. The moon phases are very important. I did a real detailed research on how the moon's phase affect the trophy muskie fishery on the flowage, and that was very interesting. But weather still overrides the phases of the moon. What I have found is that the whole 6-day period after the new moon is the most sustained, longest good period of trophy muskie fishing. That's what I really bank my fishing on, is that time frame after the new moon. I move heaven and earth to make sure I'm on the water during those days.
I used to get toward the end of August and September, I would be looking for a longer stretch of stable weather, and then I watched like a hawk the moon rise and moon set times and fished into the dark. And I know I had some customers who wanted to bail out and quit on the flowage way back 1 year, and I told them, when that moon goes down over the Gold Coast, we're leaving. And the moon was just dropping out of sight on the trees, and they stuck one that was just short of 52 inches, which we boated, which would be the biggest one I've gotten off the flowage. And, you know, it was all on that moonset, precisely on the moonset.
Yeah, and I remember that fish, because I think I had that fish on a few days before. That was in the 1994 September Bonanza. And that was exceptional. I forget what we ended up with at the resort, but I think we had 64 muskies caught in like 12 days just at our resort alone. It was unbelievable. And just a few days before you had caught that fish, I was on the spot. Don't tell anybody, but it was Pete's Bar.
Right.
That's between you and me and the right. Listeners. But anyway, enough time has gone by, we could tell people.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, my friend and I had that fish on a globe, and it was a savage, violent strike, and the fish ended up wrapping up in the line, and I got the fish by the boat, and the line went to the fish's tail. It still was hooked to the mouth, but the line was all wrapped around the fish's body, and I'm thinking, oh my, I'm going to lose this fish. I'm going to lose this bait. Let's just try to take a stab at him first time we get him by the boat. And I knew he was well over 50 inches, and I got him by the boat. My friend Ron Heidenreich was with me, and I yelled for him to net the fish, and he did his best, and we got the fish half in the net, and then it dumped out. And Ron was all distraught because the fish got out, but I was happy because I got my bait back, because that was my pet musky bait. I called it my September Globe. And so we lost the fish, but we got the bait back. A half hour earlier, I got a 25-pounder out there on the same bait. And then a few days later, there was more big fish caught there. And actually, that's when I heard you had boated that big 52-incher with a client.
Well, there was a pattern that I was on, because I had been seeing big fish and moving big fish, and it was always an after dark thing. It was you know, well after dark, hour and a half after dark. A lot of times it was with the moon, but it's the same pattern that I put together. And I fished some of the Clearwater lakes, caught some of them big fish and 50 plus inch fish on. And, you know, it's a pattern that works today. Unfortunately, I don't night fish much anymore because I wear these bifocals with prisms in them and everything else. And I don't want to be reaching over the side of a net in the middle of the night with a headlamp and trying to, you know, sure enough, I'd wind up with a hook in my hand. So if I had somebody that wanted a musky fish that knew how to handle a fish, I'll go out at night. But other than that, pretty much I kind of backed away from that night fishing stuff. But it can be productive.
It can be productive, and it also is so, so exciting. There's nothing like it. I just live for that. My wife and I, Brenda, just love night fishing. Of course, our scheduled resort, that's when we fish mostly is evenings. But usually the darker nights are best for us. When the moon is full and bright, that gets tougher. But the new moon period, when it's the dark of the moon, you can't beat it. In the summertime, you fish the shallow bars with topwater baits, and you hang on for dear life. When those muskies attack those surface baits, it's often just violent and explosive, and I can't tell you how much fun we've had. Last summer, my wife caught a nice muskie over 40 inches, and that was after dark, and it was windy. And when she got the fish up by the boat, the fish ended up jumping partially into the boat, because we have a Tuffy boat, which is very low sides. The fish jumped partially into the boat, snagged my rod, which I had set down on the edge of the boat to help, you know, net the fish, and pulled the rod out of the boat. So now the fish is hooked to two rods. My rod was completely gone. Brenda still got the fish on, and the fish is running. All of a sudden, I see my rod pop up, you know, about 8 feet out from the boat. I say, there's my rod. It's my line was all wrapped around her fish. And luckily, the fish fought close to the boat during that period, and we got the fish back to the boat. And first thing I did was grab my rod and throw it into the boat, but the fish was still hooked to it. And then I hurried up and got the fish in the net, and we landed the fish, and we got the rod back. But those things happen. I mean, there's pandemonium occurs when you're out there musky fishing, and I don't care how many fish that you've caught and how many years you've been doing it, it never ceases to be thrilling and exciting. And, you know, I'm just sorry I can't go out fishing right now. You got me all worked up.
Well, 52 you were talking about earlier. The one thing I remember on that is that when I turned my headlamp on, I had to physically almost move the guys out of the way, pick them up and move them because they froze up when they saw the fish. But the interesting thing was the guy was left-handed. I didn't even know this. He had the ambassador reel upside down and was cranking backwards because he couldn't wind the handle to pull the fish in the other way. So you see all kinds of crazy stuff out there. You're down at Indian Trail Resort, and that resort has a big history going back, too, on the Chippewa flowage.
It goes way back, way, way back. It actually started out to be an Indian home. His name was Chizua, and he was living there probably as early as the 1870s. So actually, our main lodge, the core of the building, could be 100 years, 150 years old. And all four walls of his original cabin are still fully intact, but they're hidden beneath the walls of our house now. So it's a very historic place. And he lived all the way up until the flowage was flooded in 1922. He passed away. His place was abandoned for 15 years. And then in 1937, the first person came and purchased the land from his grandchildren and started the resort at that time. There was no road going to the place, so he hired the local Indians to blaze a trail from Helsing Road to get to our place, hence the name Indian Trail Resort. And from that moment on, our resort was up and running. You know, it's been going ever since. It's an old-fashioned mom-and-pop resort.
Fishing resort.
Fishing. It's a family fishing resort. It's yep. It's very nice and well-kept, but it gives you the flavor of the old resorts of the 70s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. We have seven cabins. We have an old log stone bar that's built underneath the original Indian cabin, and it's a wonderful place, and we just love sharing it with people.
Well, there's a lot of good information out there on the Chippewa flowage as far as the history. I know you're working on a book on it too, aren't you, or something?
Yes, because it's the 100th year anniversary, it's been something I've been researching for over 40 years because of where I live. I've already written many articles about it, but this would be a great time to actually come out with a book and detail to the best of my ability what life was like before the flowage was created. I want to document the lives of the people of the that lived within the floodplain of the flowage. Naturally, the village of Pequewang, which is actually what we're still a part of, which was flooded out, that is the main core of the group of people that got flooded out. There was up to 300 people living in what they considered the village of Pequewang before the flowage was created. They not only lived right in the village proper, but they lived in miles in every direction, but they were all considered part of the village of Pequewang. So I've got a lot of great information. The old, the last schoolmaster at the government day school that worked there in the 1890s, his name was C.K. Dunster. He lived there during a real key time in history. And he had two children, and one of his children, Coralie Dunster, she reflected on her days in the 1890s at the old village of Pequewang. And she wrote a whole memoir of her life there when she was an older lady in the 1960s. And luckily, I have that whole memoir. And it's just a fascinating piece of insight into what it was like to live there in the village of Pequewang in the 1890s. And what struck me was that it was not only an Ojibwa village, it was a mixed society of many different peoples. You had European men, and you had Germans and Swedes and Swiss married into the Ojibwa people, and they all worked together and all shared their knowledge and crafts, and that's how they survived.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take yet another break and hear from even more of the fine sponsors that bring this show to you every week. When we come back, we'll have the second part of that talk we had with fishing guide John Detlock. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hey, folks, come on over to Hayward Ace Hardware and check out the area's largest selection of firearms, ammo, and accessories. We carry top brands like Browning and Sig Sauer, and we have a great selection of the newest and hard-to-find models. We've got a large selection of ammo with more coming in daily. If you need a scope, we carry great brands like Leupold, Hawk, and EOTech, and we'll even mount it and boresight it for you, too. We even sell suppressors and silencers. And don't forget to check out our Guns of the Week. Huge discounts on a variety of pistols, rifles, and shotguns that change every week. So stop on in to Hayward Ace Hardware, your firearm superstore. Hayward Ace Hardware, Highway 63 North in Hayward, or give us a call at 715-634-8700.
This year, Dr. Ostrander and his staff at Hayward Animal Hospital will be celebrating 30 years. They thank you for your patronage. Hayward Animal Hospital continues to accept new clients and offers urgent care appointments daily. For same-day urgent care or emergency surgery, make sure you call early in the day as appointments fill rapidly. They open at 8 a.m. Hayward Animal Hospital is located 1 mile east of Hayward on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides. Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And folks, you know, we're going to jump right back into the second part of that talk we had with John Detlock.
You know, a lot's changed. I mean, I can't imagine what it would have been like being a fishing guide back there when they first started the Chippewa flowage. The equipment they had and stuff. I know that 43 years of doing this as a fishing guide, I know what, looking back at the equipment and the boats and motors I ran when I started versus what I'm running today, it's like the difference between a Model T and a brand new car. I mean, it's like a huge difference. And back then, it was a fairly hard life, but the fishing, when you think it was any better back then, people always talk about how great it was years ago.
Well, in some cases it was better years ago, in some cases it's better now. It depends on which aspect of fishing and which species you're talking about. There was a lot of guiding going on pre-flowage. Most of them were Ojibwa guides that were guiding on the river system. George James was very active in guiding people. William Wrigley of the Chicago Cubs. He used to fish the rivers out of the Lasard place back around 1910. That goes way back. John Berger had a fishing resort where between Chief and Tyner Lake around 1905, 1910. He catered to fishermen. It was actually one of the first true resorts pre-flowage.
Pete's Bar was named after a guide.
Pete Peterson, yes. Yeah. Pete's Bar was named after Pete Peterson. He was an old friend of Louis Spray's. And Pete had discovered in the 30s that that large shallow flat was really hot for muskies. And he started really catching them there. And people would ask where he got them. He kept it to himself. People were wondering, where the heck is Pete fishing? You know, and people started watching where he was going. And Pete got to the point where if he heard a boat coming in the distance, he'd immediately quit fishing and leave. And for a while, he kept it secret. But eventually, someone saw him out there and said, ah, that's where Pete's spot is. It became Pete's Bar, known as Pete's Bar ever since. And the location was between what's now today Herman's Landing and Deerfoot. Pete's Bar is dead center between those two resorts. So even back then, it had good access. Pete's had good access to those resorts. So people from both resorts would be fishing out there. And it was crowded from day one on Pete's Bar. There was stories where 20 boats would be fishing at one time.
That's still the case now sometimes, I think.
Oh, yes. And then one of the other early guides was Harry Lasard. He was a neat guy. His parents actually had the stopping place just above where the Winter Dam is today. So Harry grew up before the flowage was created, hunting and fishing this area. After the flowage was created in 1923, Harry was 20 years old, and he started catching muskies where the West Fork emptied into the new flowage. And word got out, hey, Harry Lasard's catching muskies out there on the new flowage. So he kind of was credited with as the first person to start being successful catching muskies out on the flowage. And he had told me, I interviewed Harry 40 years ago, he told me that at first there was lots of muskies out there in the because they were native to the rivers, but not a lot of big ones. It was more known as an action lake in the 20s and early 30s. And then eventually those muskies mature and grew. And by the late 1930s, you had muskies at their maturity and big trophy muskies out there. So from 1938 onward, it became known as the spot to go for trophy muskies.
You bet. Well, John, I know you're planning a big celebration thing coming this summer, coming up for the Chippewa Flowage for that centennial.
Yes, I think it's the end of July. We've been working with the tribe, the Resort Association, and the Lacouture tribe. We're having meetings currently as to what we can do to commemorate the event and pay tribute and homage to the people that were flooded out. It's a wonderful place, the flowage is, but there also was a cost involved. Yeah. So, you know, you don't want to ignore that loss as well, and we're not. So we want to, you know, have a little seminars and talks, and we're talking about boat tours to do, and it's going to be quite interesting and enjoyable and educational, I think.
Yeah, very interesting topic. If somebody wants more information on the DNR, for you, Chippewa Flowage, DNR's got a bunch of information out there as far as the fishing. There's lots of other places you can find out about it.
That's right. And, you know, the Chippewa Flowage Resort Association has a website, and we try to, keep everybody updated on happenings on the flowage as well. So, and, you know, it would also be mentioned in the paper. And I'm sure I'll be coming back to visit with you beforehand, and we'll talk about this some more.
You bet. You know, if anybody wants a little more information on it, go ahead and find out. I know Chippewa Flowage is always going to maintain a great fishery. I want to thank you, John, for taking the time here.
Well, you're welcome. It's great to talk some fishing and history with you, John. And have a good winter, and don't shovel too much.
Thank you. Well, folks, you know, we're about out of time for this week's show. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if you miss a show, go to our website at wnoradio.com.
And from there, you can link to our podcast site, and the show is also on Spotify and Google Podcasts every week. And also, if you're looking for information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau website at haywardlakes.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We're out of time, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show for you.
Listen with me, I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin outdoors, our Wisconsin outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.